Organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information about PACS Inc., make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can peruse the website, see the codes of conduct, learn more about the organization, how to become a member or donate. They can get more involved in the literacy programs, the sports packages, and some of the community surveys. And also, for all you new listeners, if you hover your mouse over the More tab, you'll see a drop-down box with the Learning Center in the store. Hover your mouse over the Learning Center, and a lot of resources will come available for you in audio, politics, books, survival, legal cases, and videos. And once again, that website is www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, Patrick, Enigma September, all the current podcasts we got going on now, and the new podcasts we have coming on. So make sure you all stay tuned because we got some good stuff going on for you. So today, I'm excited about this podcast today because we have a fellow journalist, a media mogul in the making, I should say. She's from Tallahassee, Florida, so shout out to her because we're from the same city, so you know she's going to be great. She is the founder of Rush Television Production Studios. She's a photographer. She's behind the camera. She's in front of the camera. She has created a platform for herself to be able to tell her stories, tell the stories of her people, tell the stories of anyone she comes across. And she is a dynamic woman, somebody that you really, really, really need to know because I'm telling you all, she's going to take this media industry by storm. Her name is Patrice Rush. So what I want everybody to do, get up off your hands, get up off your feet, put your hands together for Ms. Patrice Rush, the journalist. Yes,
yes. Thank you.
No problem.
Hey, Joseph, how you doing?
I'm good. Welcome to the Freedom Train.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate this.
No problem. It's definitely an honor to have you on this podcast because you've literally dedicated your time, your skill sets, and your studies to not just journalism, but building your own journalism empire. So that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to make sure we have you on this podcast today because I come across young people all the time who They say it, I want to be in television, but they really don't understand like the journalism industry and different things that they can do within the media. So you're definitely going to be a great asset to the show today. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. This is my first time, so I can't wait to discuss all different topics, especially with journalism having your own production company.
Right, because we definitely have to get into that. But before we dive all the way in, can you give us some background information about yourself and what made you choose journalism?
Okay, well, I'm 29 years old, born and raised in Tallahassee. I graduated from FAMU. I'm a multimedia journalist and producer, and ever since I was 8 years old, and even before then, when I was in first grade, I would be in different plays, and I would recite different poems, like, in school. and I would do different poetry with Maya Angelou, and I could recite that. And when I was 8 years old at my church at Griffin Chapel, they allowed me to write my first script for our Christmas play. And ever since then, I just fell in love with producing. Like, I didn't know, you know, at the time that I was producing, but I just knew that I would be somewhere in television. I always told my dad I wanted to be a movie star. I wanted to be just like Eddie Murphy. I wanted to produce movies just like him.
Right.
So ever since then, and my favorite movies are autobiographies. I love to watch different movies like Ray and the Michael Jackson movie. And one of my favorites was Love Got to Do with It with Tina Turner. I just love to hear about people's stories and how they, what they went through and how they got out of that and what made them who they are today.
Right. Now, that's cool. That's cool because that sounds way better than why I started this. Like, Pat and I, we started this because we just, you know, we both authors and we got tired of not really getting invited on other people's platforms to talk about our books. It's like, we're going to do our own thing. But I like the fact that this is something that you aspired to do from a young age, and you actually didn't just dream about it. You put the actions toward it to work toward it.
Right.
So I do want to kind of get some clarity for myself and others. When you talk about multimedia and being in multimedia, what does that actually mean within the industry about multimedia?
Well, you know, just with journalism, they say that it's dying because now that everyone has a smartphone, you can pull your phone out now and you can record something and boom, you've just told a story. You've just, you know, did something in news. So it's just, you can take a picture and put it out online. So it's kind of hard for people now in the journalism industry to get jobs because everyone has a smartphone and they can have their own platform. So at FAMU, they helped us to be very proficient in all areas in graphic design. So I'm able to make my own logos and do different things with that. Like in Photoshop, I'm able to do photography, videography. I'm able to, you know, edit different documents. And I know how to talk online and for television and different writing. So that's what multimedia is. It's not just, I'm not just proficient in photography, but I'm also proficient in videography. I also can be on camera, and I can write. So that's what multimedia is for all platforms.
Right. No, that's great. That's great. But I also think that, you know, myself being a podcaster, I think those of us who don't have a journalism background, we still have to respect the craft.
Right.
Because it's one thing for somebody to, because I listen to a lot of podcasts that are not good.
And exactly.
One of the things that kind of helped us here on the Freedom Train is we had a guy named Mr. Terry Banks, and shout out to Mr. Terry. He spent over 20 years in the media industry, and we reached out to him for help, and he kind of tore us a new one, but in a good way to be able to help us, like, really respect the craft and take things serious and really study what we're doing. So I hear what you're saying about all the different ways that just the average Joe can just pull the phone out and do things. But I do think that people have to respect the craft of journalism and mold themselves. You can't just be just talking just because.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, right. So in your bio, you talked about not working traditionally in the news. So why didn't you want to take the traditional news route? And why didn't that fit into your purpose? And overall, what is your purpose in journalism?
Well, you know, when I was in college, I was a producer for the FAMU TV 20 that was on Channel 20. And I learned that, you know, certain topics, they weren't newsworthy. So if I had an idea for a show for the newscast, you know, you have to go to the executives, talk to them about some of your ideas, and if they don't feel that, you know, it should be broadcast, then it won't. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that kind of turned me off, because I just feel like there's so many, everyone has their own story, and right. there's so much going on in the world that we shouldn't just broadcast what Trump's doing, you know? There's right, so much right. more that's going on, and, you know, to be honest, you know, it's more important than the things that Trump is saying on Twitter, you know? Right. Like, that's right. not news. That's not going right. to help someone at the end of the day. So for me, I wanted to produce content that's going to help people. And I wanted to broadcast stories that many people may not feel is newsworthy, but I feel like it can help someone. And that's my purpose. I want to help people by exposing everyone's story. I just feel like I have a story. I've been through some things, even though I'm 29, and I feel like someone that's 14 or 13, they have their own story about what they've been through, right. and they can change, you know, and help someone else. They can produce right. change in the world, and they can help someone. And so that's what my passion and my purpose is to tell people's story through video, through photography, through writing, because, like I said, I have a story, someone else do, and all of our stories can make the world better. And so yeah, I just feel I like agree. That's what God wants me to do, and that's going to bring more followers to him because right, of right. the stories that people have been through.
Right. Yeah, no, I definitely do agree with that. You made me think about once I was in high school or just starting college, I believe, and it was after school around 6 o'clock. Turned on the WCTV news, and they had a story about Snoop Dogg getting busted with some weed in the airport. And the first question that popped in my mind is, why does that matter in Tallahassee?
Exactly. Why?
You know, so when you talk about stuff being newsworthy, it's a lot of things that I see on a regular basis. And not to knock anybody's news station, but there's a lot of things that I see. And my first question is, why? Why did they think this story was relevant, especially for this region?
And sometimes they do that because they don't have any stories that, you know, really big out there. So you have to put in something else that's going to make people watch TV. And at the end of the right. day, that's all that really matters is the viewers, you know?
Right, right, right. So
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was saying, if you put a celebrity on there and especially exposing him in a negative way, then it's, you know, going to make people want to watch TV.
Okay, now this question is off the beaten path. It just popped in my head. One thing I remember hearing from especially adults growing up is it's a lot of crimes, a lot of murders, a lot of sad things that are on the news. But people continue to watch the news, even though every day they complain about seeing the stories that make them sad. So from your perspective, what have these news stations done to keep people tuned in, even though that the people feel like they're constantly fed with stories of sadness, killing, and murder?
That's a really good question. I believe it's all in the writing, you know?
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of just like, even though the hurricanes and stuff like that, even though it's, you know, that's different, it's all about how you write it, how you put it out there to make people, you know, to pull up some type of emotion right. in people.
Okay.
Make them feel a certain type of way. Make them feel like, okay, I should be watching the news because this can happen closer to here, or you get what I'm saying?
I get you. Yeah. Because, you know, you're right, though. When you do tap into people's emotions, they tend to get hooked to something.
Right. So it's like how you word it, what you're saying. It can kind of scare people. And now it's like you feel like you need to be watching the news. You need to know what's going on. You need to keep track on certain things. And then also, I mean, people want to know, like, people are nosy, so they want to know, like, who killed this person and, you know, things right. like that. So.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So, that's my opinion.
Right. So as far as narratives, controlling narratives, why do you think it is important for people to be able to control their personal narratives and or, like yourself, be able to have your hand in the producing of narratives of your people or the people that you come across? Why do you think that's important?
I think, one, it's important to be able to control your own narrative because who's going to tell your story better than yourself, you know?
Right.
No one's right. going to know anything about how you felt at that moment. Whatever your story is, no one's going to know. No one's going to be able to express different emotions, how you felt when this happened to you. So I feel like it's important for us to discuss our own stories and tell our own stories because we're going to tell it better. We're going to make people feel the exact same way that, you know, the same way that we felt. And they're going to know the facts, the truth. They won't have to worry about questioning anything. And I also feel like it's important to tell the narratives of our people because you want to tell the story so no one else has to do that, you know. And also, we need to tell our stories so that we have a spot in history like others, you know.
Right.
Because if we don't tell the stories of our people, then we're just going to be lost in history like plenty of us, you know, plenty of our people have been. We don't know about a lot of people because no one took the time to ask about their story. And, you know, we know more about Christopher Columbus, but we don't know, you know, about the, we don't know any Native Americans that were actually here, you know?
Right.
So it's just different things like that. That's what I believe why it's important to tell the narrative.
Right. Yeah, because you, as you were saying that, you made me think about the documentary I watched on Netflix, The Black Godfather, about the guy Clarence Avant. And if that story wasn't told, we would have no idea that this one black guy made so many moves in Hollywood and put so many people on and took care of so many people, black people especially. And more stories like that of, I feel like, of our people need to be told. So definitely right. kudos to you, people like you who are creating these platforms for stories like that to be told.
Thank you. And I definitely agree.
Yes, ma'am. So as a journalist, to you personally, what is the most rewarding aspect of journalism to you, and why is it the most rewarding?
I would say that the most rewarding is hearing the different perspectives that people have in life. You know, I really love to get inspired just by hearing, like, okay, you went through this terrible thing happened in your life, but then, you know, how did you get out of it? And it's just, I love hearing about success stories because that helps right. me with my success story. You know, we're always learning. We're always trying to be the best person, you know, every day. So it's just, I go through things just like everybody else, and I need that inspiration to keep going, especially when there's so many journalists and so many people that are, you know, trying to take media by storm. You know, I get rewarded when I just hear other people's story and just how they came out of their terrible experiences. I just love talking to people and figuring them out. And like, you know, right. figuring out their passions. That might seem crazy, but, you know, just hearing about their hobbies and, like I said, what they've been through, I love to kind of see where their life is going to be headed next. And yeah. I kind of dream, you know, for them. And I foresee things and I tell them, you know, what I see. And that just does something to me.
I understand. I completely relate to that. For one, I like to talk. You know, I was always getting in trouble in school for talking. But, you know, as I got older, learned how to channel that into something more constructive as what I'm doing now. So, but
right.
I love, you know, also, like, being able to see people win and
yes.
and getting
yes.
their stories, even be like here, even before somebody blows all the way up, being able to get their story, then seeing them actually do what they said that they were going to do, that's, like, so exciting to me.
It is. Yeah. And I get a high from all of that. Like,
right.
I just get so overjoyed.
Yes. So, Rush Television Productions, that's your baby. So, tell us all about it, why you started it, and what your overall mission for Rush Television Productions is.
Well, I'll say that the thought started when I was in college. I was talking to my old professor and mentor, Professor Kenneth Jones, and I don't know if you know him, but he is like the head of J School. He's also a filmmaker, and he's my mentor. And we were just talking about what I was going to do after college, and I really didn't know because I was a transfer student from TCC. I always worked. I never really was able to stay after school and have the different opportunities like the rest of my colleagues. They were able to be on set with different actresses and actors. And I didn't really know what I was going to do. I didn't really know what my purpose was really for being in journalism. I didn't know because I didn't want to do news. I just really didn't know. I know that I wanted to be a filmmaker, but I thought maybe I had to go to FSU to do that and be in their film school. But, you know, my professor was telling me, Patrice, this is what you should do, because I did my first documentary in school. We did our thing called J School Journals, and we were able to produce a documentary. So the first documentary that I and another one of my colleagues, we directed, it was called Don't Shrink Me. And it was about African-American people and the mental health of our people and how we don't seek therapy. And we did a documentary like that, and we interviewed so many different people, and my professor loved it. And he was just like, this is what you're supposed to be doing. And we also did a PSA on the hazing, you know, because FAMU had that incident with hazing. We did a PSA, and my professor just loved the content that I had in the PSA, that he was just like, this is where your heart is. And he could tell that my heart is just telling other people's story. And he said, you're going to start Rush Theatrical Productions. That's what he told me.
Right.
And so ever since then, it clicked in me that, okay, my purpose is to tell people's stories. So, you know, I graduated in 2014, and after I graduated, I was in a grease fire. So, and I burned 17% of my body. And I really didn't know what I was going to be doing, you know, and I just feel like after I was burned, you know, God was really trying to tell me, like, you know, your life could be taken at any minute, you know, but because I saved you, I need you to tell people's story. I need you to bring more people to me and show people, like, this happened to you, but you're going to take off. You're going to be successful. Do what I told you to do. So that's when I started Rush Television Productions. And I just wanted to tell other people's story just as much as I tell my own story.
Right.
And I know that people have been through worse than I have, and they have their own businesses, and I just feel like that should be told.
Yeah, it should. It should. Now, what's cool, though, is so that means you were behind a lot of the programs that I used to watch because I called it the FAMU channel. So when I would get home from college, especially when I was in college, I think it was channel 20 or something at the time,
right,
on Comcast, and I would come home and I would watch the different shows, the different news broadcasts on the FAMU channel. So now that's pretty cool that literally you were behind a lot of the content that I was watching.
Yes, definitely. Okay. We produced the whole newscast.
Right. And then in talking to you, find out that from there you took the things that you learned with encouragement from your professor and created your own platform. So, like, was it hard to create your platform? Like, what different steps did you have to go through to create Rush Television Productions?
Well, I'll say, with FAMU and just why they're just so awesome is because they teach African Americans, how to make your own way. And that's what I love about FAMU. They teach you how to be great and be black. And it's just like, it wasn't hard at all because our professors in the journalism department, they taught you pretty much how to do everything. They taught you from production, how to set up that and how to have your own licensing, what you need to go through. Like, they took us through all of that. We weren't just in our books. They were actually throwing us out there. And I had an internship at a newspaper, publication, Capital Outlook. And she taught us different, things and how to get sponsors. So it wasn't hard at all. It wasn't hard. They taught us everything that we know.
That's cool. So have you found yourself mentoring other up-and-coming journalists or young people aspiring to be journalists?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
I have a couple of potential interns. And right now, they want to work under me. But I haven't went through FAMU yet to get the actual permission to do that. But I definitely have been talking to people about just videography and photography, how to start your own business, how to edit videos. I've been doing that.
Okay. No, that's pretty dang on cool.
Thank you.
I believe in us starting our own. I believe everybody should own something of their own. But also, one of the reasons we created Pat and I created this platform is just for conversations like this, for people like you who spent the time to create your own, and in relation to what you do as well, getting the stories out, but also connecting with people. I don't believe in creating a platform and just trying to be the famous person on my own. We should be helping each other. So this was definitely meant to be with us connecting and being having
one,
because it's to me, this is what we're here for. This is what we're supposed to do, supporting each other. So I'm so excited.
No, I'm excited as well.
Yes, ma'am.
I feel like there's a lot of things that we could do together, especially after this.
Exactly. And then, shout out to FAMU Journalism, because now from my outside view looking in, and one of my best friends, he graduated from journalism program, and then I do a lot of HIV/AIDS work in the community. That's what I do for my day job, and I've been asked a couple of times to do certain things with certain journalism students, but it's not the journalism program. It's not easy. So what are one of the two greatest things that you've learned from FAMU Journalism Program that you still use to this day that's helping you be successful?
I can say that one of the biggest things is that I have a voice. It needs to be heard. At first, like I said, I was a transfer student, and I felt like I was really shy. when I transferred from TCC to FAMU, because it just seemed like everyone was so confident at FAMU, and I wasn't. I wasn't confident in myself. I wasn't confident in my beliefs or anything. And I just remember one of my professors, Ben Davis, who's also like a really well-known journalist, he brought me from the back of the class to the front of the class. And he called on me and made sure that I stated some type of opinion. And so he taught me to, your voice matters. Your voice matters. Your opinion matters. You never know what to come out of your mouth that, like I said, can change someone. You are the change. And that's one of the best things that they ever told me, because now I'm more confident in myself. That's, you know, I'm more confident in who I am, and it doesn't matter what I look like or anything.
Right. You know you can.
And then, I'm sorry?
I'm saying you know you can. You have that belief in yourself no matter what anybody else thinks.
Right. And the second thing that FAMU has taught me is that everybody can be somebody. That's what they taught me, especially from FAMU. You know, there's no doubt about it. There's proof in the pudding that excellence comes out of FAMU.
Right.
It doesn't matter, like I said, what you look like or anything. You can be who you want to be. That's just it. That's what I learned from FAMU. I can be who I dream to be. Who I always dream to be.
Definitely can. Now it just, I'm kind of, as you're saying, I'm smiling to myself, because two of my goals, like my bucket list goals, has always been to be in the Journey magazine for FAMU, to be in that, but also to be on FAMU's website. So I'm like, and as you're saying, you can be anything, you can do anything, because to me, FAMU being, in my opinion, the premier HBCU, to make it to the website, to be in the magazine, that means you've accomplished certain things. But also, going back to that belief in yourself, you believed in yourself so much that you took the steps forward to make sure that you get to where you want to go in life. So it just made me think about that. So,
and I'm just commenting off of that. It's not hard to do that. You know, so being in the Journey magazine, if you just talk to someone, you know, and tell them that you want to be in the Journey magazine, you can be in the Journey magazine. It's just that easy. They would help you and expose your platform. And that's what I love about FAM. That's what I love about them.
Right.
So check that out.
Now, I think two or three times I've been in the magazine. So my next goal is that website. So get my
face. Okay.
When I was a student, I was like, man, I could be on this website. Now, what are these other people doing to get on this website? Let's get on this website now.
That's you can talk to Jones about that. Like I said, Professor Kenneth Jones.
Right. Okay. Definitely going to do that. So I want to ask this, because it kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning, that the idea of journalism has become a lot more accessible to the everyday person. Anyone with a phone in their hand could say something and put something out. And, you know, with that being said, I'm starting to see more and more people become photographers.
Right.
And this is something that you have truly been trained in. You didn't just pick up a camera one day.
Exactly.
Say, hey, I want to take pictures. So, in your opinion, what makes a good photographer? And for those who are seeking photographers, what traits should I be looking for, or people should be looking for in the photographers that they're seeking?
That's a great question. I feel like what makes a good photographer is a friendly photographer, you know, someone who actually cares about your vision. It's not about just someone who, it's a sunny day and it's a beautiful day, so you think you can take a picture. You know, and it's going to come out looking awesome. That's not what I believe photography is about. It's about actually having that eye for beauty, you know, in anything. You know, in a trash can. There's beauty in a trash can, you know. It's just about the angles, and it's about, photography is about capturing something from your eye. So I just feel like what makes a good photographer is, do they make you feel comfortable to be yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do they care about your vision? Or are they just trying to make money by capturing anything? You know?
Right.
Do they, and then when you're talking to them, are they listening to you and actually doing what you say that you want? Are the pictures coming out correctly? Are they just capturing pictures and then later on they'll send you the edits and that's it?
Right.
I feel like you have to have that eye. You have to care about people. You have to listen to what they're saying. And the traits of a good photographer, somebody who definitely has great equipment. That's not a trait, but you definitely want someone with a great camera.
Right.
You don't want to just, you know, have like a $100 camera like you really need. You really need somebody with a really great camera. A trait, I'll say, like I said, definitely friendly, definitely caring. Someone who's going to make sure that you're looking the best and they're going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I'll say, you know, honest, trustworthy, friendly, and caring.
Okay. And so it still comes down to relationship building, even if, if I'm a photographer myself, I have to have that. It's not just snapping pictures. It's being able to build that relationship with that person so you all can have the greatest experience, is basically what you're saying.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Okay, because I remember I was at work and one of my coworkers was showing us some pictures of a friend that she had, just graduation pictures. But the young lady wasn't necessarily happy with her figure in the pictures. And but the pictures wasn't that bad. But some of the pictures, she was trying to hide her stomach and some of these things, and it just didn't come out the correct way for that young lady. And so as I'm listening to what you're saying, you're saying communication is key. So how do you, if it's something that may not be the most flattering thing to say to a person that you're shooting, what's the best way, in your opinion, to kind of get an idea across to a customer that won't hurt their feelings?
I'll say, you know, when I have clients and I may see something or just whatever, I want to talk to them, ask them different questions, like, is there anything that you're afraid of, you know, showing in the pictures? Like, me being a woman, I know that our figures is the most important in a picture. So I ask them, is there anything that you're afraid of showing? Is there anything that you want me to, anything you want me to do? Do you want me to show your upper body? Do you want me to show the whole thing? Do you not like your legs? Like, I like to ask different questions so that there's no questioning afterwards. Like, oh, I didn't like this, or, you know, I don't like this. Like, you just have to ask questions in all aspects just to make sure that they're comfortable. And I also believe in having a mirror in front so that they see how they're looking while I'm taking the picture.
Okay. I'd never heard of that before, having a mirror in front.
Me being a woman, I would like to see how I'm looking even when I'm taking the picture.
Right, right. I don't blame you. But, I'm thinking about, it was this one video online. It was crazy, but, like, the photographer was, like, doing all these flips and tricks and sliding all over the ground and rolling and all these things on the ground. And the first thought in my mind was, does it really take all of that? So in your opinion, what things can photographers do that could actually take away from the quality of the shoot?
That's a good question. Now, when you mentioned about them doing the flips and stuff like that,
yeah.
It does take that. It does take that. I can definitely say
right.
that.
Right.
What can a photographer do to take away?
Right.
From a picture?
Right, because, you know, like I said, sometimes from my perspective, and I'm not a professional, but from my perspective, it's a lot going on the photographer's end. Because I'm a simple person, so just take my picture. But from somebody from my perspective, it doesn't take much. Just, you know, immortalize me or whatever. But mistakes that you've made in the past and things that you've seen from other photographers, you know, just, and kind of for the audience's sake as well, what are some things that photographers should or shouldn't do that could take away from the integrity of the whole shoot?
I guess when you're asking this question, I don't really know, like, if you mean, like, okay, maybe if it's too much, like, if it's too low of the lighting, like, do you
Not necessarily from the technical standpoint, but from the, I guess,
okay.
personality or a, I guess, the different ways that a photographer could shoot this. I may not be explaining it well, because I don't know all the photographer terms, but just if I have a photo shoot booked and I'm at the shoot and the photographer's doing too much, I guess I would say that the photographer's doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things you think that photographers could kind of do to make sure the shoot is quality but not take a lot of the attention off of the person at this shoot?
Gotcha. I mean, like I said, at the end of the day, it's all about what the client wants. So if, you know, especially with guys, just like you said, guys are very simple. So if I'm trying to stand up and, you know, do all this extra stuff and the guy just simply wants headshots, then I need to give him headshots. I can't
right.
just, oh, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you look this way? You know, like, it's just, listening, like you said, it's all about communication. So if you have bad communication or you have your own vision, I could say that. Having your own vision all the time is not good because at the end of the day, it's all about what the client wants. And even though you may feel like you can get some great shots and it's better than what the person wants, you should always listen to the client.
Okay, cool. So we talked earlier about the documentary that you produced in college, but have you produced any other documentaries or what other projects have you worked on thus far? And the second part of this is what dream project would you like to produce in the future?
Yes, I have worked on many documentaries. I've done plenty of videos for entrepreneurs in Tallahassee where they tell their story about pretty much what we're doing right now. They tell their story about their brand, what they've been through to get to this point and start their own business. I've done plenty of videos like that from some black-owned businesses in Tallahassee. I've also worked on like a mini documentary on different brands in Tallahassee. They want me to walk around with them all day and kind of show, like, a day in the life of whoever it is. So I've done different projects with that. I've worked with many music artists in Tallahassee because I feel like there's a lot of great artists in Tallahassee.
There is.
And they don't really get showcased enough. And so I've worked with a lot of singers and rappers and poets. I walked around with them and did, like I said, little mini documentaries. That's as far as my projects go.
Okay.
As far as what I want to produce in the future, my biggest dream is to be a filmmaker. So I definitely want to produce a lot of films. I want to be just like Will Packer. He came out of KMU. And put the movie industry by storm. I definitely want to do that.
Okay.
I want to produce an autobiography, especially for like Angela Bassett. Like if I could do that,
that'd be nice.
I feel
that'd
like nice. I've succeeded in life because she's always like the mother or one of the main characters in an autobiography. So I feel like her story needs to be told as well. And
you would definitely be good with Black America for doing that.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. And I also want to produce like my own movies. Like one I have in the works just as far as writing. It's called No Other God Before Me. And it just speaks about how, you know, not even just Black America, but just people in general, how we use certain things as our God, whether that's relationships or temporary fixes, buying cars, and, you know, to kind of mask how we're really feeling inside. And in the end, we really need healing. So that's something that I'm working on. As much as just some other series, I want to do a poetry series because I write poetry.
Right. Okay. So you have... I know in this city there are a lot of good poets, so you definitely have access to a lot of good poets, not just here, but around the world. That's great.
That's facts.
And I'm going to say this. The last woman that we interviewed on this podcast, who she had a book, her name was, her name just escaped me. I don't know how it did that, but she had a book called Behind Closed Doors 2, Dana's Story. And she wanted to make that into a movie. So like a year and a half, maybe 2 years later, Dr. A.L. Smith, that's her name, Dr. A.L. Smith. And lo and behold, that movie is now a reality. So definitely keep going. Keep doing it. Like whatever your goal is, keep working toward that goal because – like I say, we've been podcasting since 2014, and we've seen a lot of people who came on this podcast and told us future plans, and they came true. And like I said in the beginning of the interview, that makes me excited to see people speak on what they want to do and then work towards it and actually happen. So I believe it's going to. Everything you want to do is going to work out for you. Everything is going to come to fruition. Just keep going. Keep moving. Even if you have times where you feel like nobody's paying attention and nobody's supporting you, keep going. Mm-hmm. Because when it becomes that reality, you're definitely going to know everything you went through was worth it.
Oh, thank you for that. I really do. And this gives me hope. Like even just being on this podcast is letting me know, like, continue doing what you're doing.
Definitely.
And I really appreciate everything that you just said and everything that you're doing for our people and helping us, you know, with our platform and able to discuss, you know, just everything about us. So I definitely appreciate you.
No problem. I appreciate your words as well. Let me ask this. As far as producing film, producing content. For you, what did it take for you to start the production what does it take to produce quality material and your own studio? Like, how did you actually open your own studio?
Well, I guess the first question you asked, what does it take to produce?
Yes.
And, you have to have a good camera. That's the main thing. You have to have a quality camera because people, that's what they respect. They respect quality. So that's one of the things. You have to know how to edit video, which FAMU, they taught us how to do all of that, how to edit on Final Cut Pro. That's a software. And you have to have an eye, and you have to be able to be a good storyteller. You need to be able to, because when people are watching it, you don't want them to be confused.
Right.
About what they're watching. So it's very important to know how to tell a story and know how to portray it visually. I think that's one of the main factors in production.
Right.
Is storytelling and translating that over to the photography and the videography. And also, what FAMU taught us, well, J School, they just taught us how to produce something in the quickest way, because people, their attention spans are very short.
Yes.
So
yes.
You have to be able to grab their attention. How are you going to do that? So I feel like it's a lot of science behind production, and you need to know how to master all of that before you even call yourself a producer. As far as starting my own production company, well, with my studio,
mm-hmm.
it kind of just, how it came to me very easy. I can say that.
Okay.
I'm shocked, but I was trying to figure out, you know, I know that everyone's telling me you should leave Tallahassee so that you can become what you want to become.
Right.
People will always tell me
that,
you know.
I get that
you need to leave Tallahassee, you know.
Right.
And, you know, it definitely made me really down that a lot of my friends and a lot of people felt that I needed to leave just because Tallahassee is a small place. But it is just so much opportunity. There's so many people that's doing things just like me and you see how easy it was for us to connect. And now we're able to, you know, be on each other's platforms. And I just feel like I don't have to leave Tallahassee to be somebody. You know, I am someone. And we're making moves here. So that was one of the things. I just felt really down about that. And I was trying to figure out what my next move was. And I was just looking online, and, you know, I don't know how you feel about this, but a lot of people in Tallahassee were buying back the buildings. And, you know, there's a lot of businesses, a lot of black-owned businesses that actually have their own buildings.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And it's just, there's so many cake shops, there's so many different restaurants here and studios. And I just wanted to know how people are getting these places.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed more room because at first I just had it in a 2-bedroom. I would shoot in my other bedroom. And I have all my equipment there. But then I started having so much equipment that it wasn't able to fit in the other room. So one day I was looking for an apartment or a house that had a 3-bedroom, and I wanted it to be really big. But then I saw on the different realty properties online, they had the different commercial buildings. So something told me, check it out and see what the pricing is. And I just started checking out some different pricing, and I saw that it was very affordable for me to do. So I just called up the property manager, and we talked, and I got business insurance, you know, and then I was able to move in. It was just that simple. So it's very simple.
Cool. That's cool. And that's one of the steps that I'm taking in the future as well. Because I have a lot of ideas that I want to do with this podcast. Because I'm thinking about a whole new podcast that I want to do now. But I'm also thinking about my time and everything, because I do host this one. I also have a sports podcast, but I work in the world of HIV/AIDS, safe sex, and all those things. I want to kind of create a podcast around that. So I'm definitely with you as far as being able to look around and see different spaces that you can use. And like you said, they're not that expensive. They're really not.
In Tallahassee.
Right. You just have to make sure you're taking care of your business on your end. You know, time is one of the things that you do have to consider, but, you know, you make time for the things that you want to do.
Yes.
So,
that's true.
But also, But also going back to what you were saying about leaving Tallahassee, because I get that on a regular basis myself. I need to leave Tallahassee. I need to leave Tallahassee. But I find it hard to do because I'm so connected into the community as far as doing
Yes.
different things. But I want to see Tallahassee win. I want to see Tallahassee be put on the map. I want to be a part of putting Tallahassee on the map. So
Right.
it's like when people are telling you that, especially now in the position that you're in, what are some of the conversations that you're having with these people as of why you're not going to leave Tallahassee anytime soon?
Well, I would just be talking to them about, my next projects and things that I want to accomplish. Just like I said, films and talking about my dreams of, having my own studio. That was one of the topics. And they're just like, kind of like it's not going to happen, because you're in Tallahassee.
Right.
That was, a couple of comments that I got, like, oh, you have to be this and you have to be that to have your own studio. And, they thought that it took so much money. And
Right.
because I graduated in journalism and I didn't get a job in my field after
Right.
college, people felt like, oh, you don't have a job in your field because you're still in Tallahassee. And that's wrong. It's
Right.
plenty of jobs in Tallahassee, but it's nothing that I want to take on. And yeah, the money isn't in journalism unless you're on like a big platform in news.
Right.
And like I said, I don't want to do news. I didn't want to do news. So a lot of my friends thought the fact that I'm a journalist, I should be a reporter, but they didn't really understand what my goals were in life. And of course, if you tell someone you're going to be an actress, the first, or a producer, they're going to think you need to move to Hollywood or,
Right.
So those are some of the conversations that I had with small-minded people that thought that, because Tallahassee is so small, but like you said, the connections, they're in Tallahassee.
They are here. They are here. You just have to get out and make sure you build relationships. Because I'm reading a book now called Unmarketing. But one of the great things about this book is talking about building relationships with people. And that's something that I've tried to do. Of course, every city has their cliques, every city, and if you're not a part of certain cliques, you may miss out on certain things. And I don't believe in necessarily clicking up and living in silos. I believe in being able to connect with any and everybody who's we're on the same wavelength of moving forward and being productive. But I'm with you though. Like I strongly believe that we can do everything we want to do living in Tallahassee. And also, if we need to travel, we can always travel to other places.
Exactly. And that's fact.
Yeah.
And we
Right.
don't have
Right.
to spend an arm and a leg on apartments and, housing and gas to get to and from. We can use all of our money and invest it in our businesses because the
Right.
cost of living isn't a lot here. So
Exactly.
I feel
Exactly.
I find a lot of people that have moved to different cities, they're not able to do what they love because they're struggling, in other areas. So their mind
Right.
isn't on their business or their
Right.
passion. It's trying to maintain a certain lifestyle.
Yeah, I see the same thing myself. I have a lot of friends who moved to Atlanta, who moved to LA, who pursuing specific dreams, and whether it's music or acting, and it hasn't turned out exactly the way they want to, but they have found some success. But going back to
Right.
what you said, a lot of time is spent on just trying to make it, just trying to live, because the cost of living is ridiculous. And here, cost of living isn't ridiculous. It's actually manageable. It's doable. So I do believe,
Right.
I'm with you, I do believe that as long as we continue to support each other and help each other,
Right.
we can find as much success as we want to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you on that. I feel the same way.
That's cool. That's cool. So I want to ask your opinion on the current state of black journalism specifically, and how do you see yourself contributing to the improvement of black journalism?
I honestly think that the current state of black journalism, I feel like it's booming. Before I can say that, before on television, there weren't a lot of black reporters that, you know, a lot of stations right. even let be on television. But now we have so many black reporters and anchors, you know, who yeah. they're letting come on television, and they're wearing their afros, and they're wearing, you know, yeah. their natural hair. And, you know, I just feel like that's something that I haven't seen even when I was in school. So that was 5 years ago. It wasn't accepted. You know, family was teaching us about how we should wear our hair and different things like that. But now people, you know, we're able to just be ourselves now, and it's becoming more accepting. I feel like yeah. we're taking journalism by storm. Now it's yeah. just so many black producers that are coming out now, so many black movies, and I feel like we're booming. I feel like it's booming right now.
Yeah, I agree.
To improve, I feel that we should put others on, you know, instead
right.
of it just being, you know, some of the people on television who are successful. I feel you should put your other, you know, African-American colleagues on. Like, that's what I feel, of course, that we should improve in the black community is support.
Yeah.
Supporting others who are trying to do the yeah. same thing.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sure you remember this, you know, growing up in Tallahassee, as we're talking about the movement of black journalists and more seeing more black journalists on television. And, you know, because growing up in Tallahassee, it was just Carmen Cummings. And she's a legend here, so shout out to Miss Carmen Cummings. She's definitely a legend here. But, you know, Carmen Cummings, Art Myers, Anna Johnson, people like that, that's what we grew up and we were used to seeing. And so
right.
the first time, I can't remember the young lady's name, but it was a young, dark-skinned young lady. And now we have, like, Lanitra Bennett and some of the other young, especially
Alicia
dark-skinned.
Turner.
Yes, dark-skinned, beautiful women that are on the news. And it's
yes.
just like, I try when I see them, like, you see them out in public covering their stories. And so I kind of have to check myself not to go in the fan mode. Like, hey, do what you do. I love what you're doing. And it's just, but I think it's beautiful now to see so many black women in these spaces that are literally changing the way the news is looking. And then, like you say, being able to be themselves, wear their hair in its natural state. You don't have to conform
right.
or shift to be able to be successful in these spaces. So,
yes.
But you are also contributing to that with what you're doing as an independent owner. We're praising Tyler Perry for owning his studios. We should be praising you the same way for owning your own.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And it's not
but it is real.
I'm trying to tell myself, you know, it doesn't matter how small or how big my studio is. But it's not like Tyler Perry Studios, of course. But it's like 250 square feet. But it's enough
right.
to do what I need to do. And
right.
so I definitely yeah. appreciate that.
Yeah. But remember this African proverb that says, if you think small things can't make a huge impact, try spending the night with a mosquito. You know? So remember that whenever you're thinking about the size. I'm just saying because, you know, everybody spent the night with a mosquito and you didn't get no sleep that night. And it made a significant
right.
impact
right.
on you. So it's not the size, it's the quality.
That's facts.
Yes, ma'am.
I really like that. Thank you.
So, what advice do you have for current and future journalists looking to forge their own paths within the media industry?
I'll say just like I said before, you know, we all have a voice. We all have the power to be who we want to be. So you have to believe in yourself, believe in your power, believe that you are the change.
Right.
And you can be anything that you want.
There you go.
That we were all created in the likeness of God and His image. And we have to be that. We have to let our light shine, to be the light. And that's my opinion, and that's my advice to other journalists who want to, whether they want to be on TV or whether they just want to have an impact on the community, know that you are enough, your story is enough, and you didn't go through what you went through or what you're going through just to be, you know, home thinking about dreaming about something that you want to do. You can actually achieve it. And it just takes one step. And that's
yes,
just, you know, just take that step.
Believe in yourself wholeheartedly, even if nobody else does. That's
yes, and that's facts. Because before I got my studio, everyone thought I had to move from Tallahassee. But now that I have my own studio, everybody's like, oh, you know, I want to come see your studio. I want to do this. I'm so proud of you. And before, it was just, I didn't get that support at all.
Right.
And
right.
So,
yeah. I feel you. Trust me, I feel you.
Yeah, I know. Especially in Tallahassee. So just keep trucking. Like you said, even if no one believes you, believe in yourself, and that's all it's going to take.
And even to that, because I look at so many people, yeah, they're from bigger cities, but there's a lot of successful people who haven't left their cities and was able to find opportunities. And there are a lot of people who will move to these booming cities and they don't find the same opportunities because it's almost as if they're waiting for somebody to give them something instead of creating their own lane. And I feel like if you continue to forge your own path, no matter what, in the end, you're going to be where you want to be.
That's right. And that's true. And I know a couple of people like that, too. People who have moved to Tallahassee because of the boom that's been going on with black-owned businesses.
Yeah. Yeah.
The opportunities, the support. So
right.
We're going to make it.
We definitely are.
Mark our words.
So we're down to our final question, and this is a question that we like to ask everyone. It's usually my co-host Patrick's question. It's his favorite question. But it is, if you were the all-powerful ruler of Black America, what would you change and what would your message to the people be?
What I would change? But I want to say the support.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm saying that, then I guess, you know, I would try to change, like, the way we see ourselves and how we, you know, we're always looking at our brother as, you know, our sister as competition, you know?
Right.
And that's not how other races, you know, look at themselves. They put each other on.
Right.
They look at it as we're better together than apart. So, you know, I would try to change. I don't know how I would do that. I can't really word how I could change that without changing the person's heart.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know. I would just try to teach people that, you know, like I said, we're better together than we're apart and that we have to support each other. And we can all make it. We can't do it alone. I know we're so used to not depending on anybody, but we, you know, like I said, we just have to. We have to learn how to work with each other regardless of our flaws, regardless of anything. We just have to learn how to come together, put all the other stuff aside, and look at the bigger goal.
Right.
Right. I don't know if that answers the question or not, but
no, but
that's my answer.
No, but you did, because what's unique about this question that we've learned over the years is the question doesn't change, but everybody has different answers. It may have out of like 5 years, we may have had maybe two people who had similar answers, but everybody's answer to that is a whole lot different, and that just show us how many different perspectives can come from one thing. And so mm-hmm. you definitely you in there, you're good with that. So
okay, good.
So before we close it out, how can people get in contact with you? What's your website? What's your social media? What's the best way for people to contact you?
Okay, my website is www.rushtelevision.net. My social media handles, you can look for me on Facebook, Patrice Rush Television Rush. I have a business page on Facebook called Rush Television. You can also look for me on my social media, which is my Instagram. You can look for Rush Television _. And that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Once again, I appreciate you for giving up your time to come take a ride on the Freedom Train with me. I'm definitely
that was
looking.
Fun.
Oh yeah, ma'am. I appreciate you. Like, the conversation was so good. I appreciate all the information that you've given. I'm looking forward to being in your studio. I'm definitely looking forward to that. Yes, ma'am. And I just want to say, keep going and what you're doing. Keep moving forward. I know we have a lot of people who don't understand what you're doing, who can't see your vision, or who think that you have to do this, and the third, because everybody else has done this. But what you have something special. You have a passion that most people don't have in the field, but you also have the grind to go out and get what you need to get for yourself. And that's, believe it or not, that's something that's rare. And I believe that you're going to have so much success in your future that you're going to forget about, well, you're not going to forget about everything, but the negativity is just going to roll off your back like water, because you're going to be so successful in what you're doing, because you, whatever that it is that they say people have, you have it. And I just wish you as much success in your life as possible.
Thank you, Joseph. I really appreciate that a lot.
No problem.
That's an excellent start of my week to just keep grinding, keep going, go harder. And
yes,
I definitely can't wait to work with you, you know,
yes,
in the future, and ask you a lot of questions, you
oh,
know,
yeah,
that,
right.
that right? Because, I mean, I feel like we could talk forever. So, you know,
I know, right?
I definitely agree with you, you know, just you don't stop doing what you're doing.
Right.
We're going
to make
sure we take the, you know, media industry by storm, and I just
yes, ma'am.
Pray all for success for the Freedom Train Network and everything that you're trying to do with spreading awareness for safe sex and HIV AIDS.
Yes,
you know, I definitely want to know more about that as well.
Okay. All right. I definitely keep you informed, and we have to stay in touch, and just thank you once again. So I'm not going to hold you any longer, but once again, just I appreciate everything you do, and we will make sure that we stay in touch and help each other out, and just make sure we do what we need to do for each other.
Thank you.
No problem. So I'll definitely talk to you later.
Okay, all right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Patrice Rush, the journalist. Put your hands together for Ms. Patrice Rush. Yeah. So that's our podcast for this week, man. As you can see, I love doing what I do. I love having conversations like that. And for all of you out there who are having your ups and downs within the pursuits that you're going through, you got negativity being spewed towards you, you may feel like nothing is happening, like you're not going places, or like you feel like you're stuck in neutral. Just keep going. Just keep pushing. Just keep going. Keep pushing. Keep grinding. Keep networking. Keep learning. Keep building. Keep getting stronger. Keep getting wiser. I guarantee you, when you look up, you're going to be where you need to be. So it's Joseph. I'm Joseph Ward. That was Patrice Rush, the journalist. This is the Freedom Train podcast series. Shout out to Patrick. So with that being said, we out, and we'll catch y'all next week, man. It's the Freedom Train podcast series. Remember, we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Radio Public, iHeartRadio. Anywhere you receive your podcast, we're there. If we're not, then let us know. Remember, comment, like, subscribe, share, all those different things, man. Two fingers in the air like a player, because you know we just don't care. And we up out of here, y'all. Peace.